بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن؟ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So who from online or in person can tell me what was the most difficult method by which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received wahi? Yes.
The ringing of the bell.
Good. The sunsat al-jar, the ringing of the bell. That is was the most difficult. Who's here online or in person can tell me one of the definitions of wahi, either the istilahi or the lughwi, the linguistic or the contextual, without looking at your notes?
Divine revelation.
Divine revelation, but divine revelation, but now you have to expand it a little more. Divine revelation is actually one of the methods that I had put on the board. If you expand it, then it'll be the istilahi definition, the contextual definition. The word of Allah, kalamullah, al-munazzal al-nabiyillah, that it's the word of Allah revealed upon a prophet of Allah. That's the istilahi definition, meaning the contextual definition, one that fits with the specific topic we're discussing. What's the lughwi definition? Anyone remember? It's that you indicate towards something with speed, with quickness. Or that it's a thought or a word that's placed inside the heart. So this is some things we covered last week. Now, today we're going to get into what's Quran.
Can you go through the short, quickly, that five things which you mentioned about
wahi? So some of the things about wahi that were mentioned last week were, one, what were the definitions of wahi? One, the lughwi, the linguistic definition, is to point or indicate something with quickness. And the second is to place a thought or a word in the heart. Is it working upstairs?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then the istilahi, the contextual definition, is going to be the word of Allah revealed upon the Prophet of Allah. So when we speak about it in tafsir, in Quran, wahi refers to the word of Allah revealed upon the Nabi of Allah. Now last week we also discussed the idea of the ways wahi would come. The most difficult one was the sound of a bell ringing. And this was most difficult upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next one was an angel that appeared as a human being. And the example of this was in the hadith, Jibreel alayhi salam, he came as a man that no one recognized, and the Prophet mentioned when he left, "Innahu Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum dinakum," that it was Jibreel, he came to teach your religion. The third way is the angel coming in his original form. The fourth way is ru'yat as-sadiqah, a true dream or true vision. And the fifth way is the word of Allah, meaning the actual conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, is revelation placed within the soul or within the heart itself. Now this week we're going to get into the definition of Quran and the way we look at Quran. Because if we can look at what Quran is, then we'll have an idea as to how we understand Quran. Quran, there's an ikhtilaf, there's a difference of opinion regarding the meaning of Quran. Some say, like Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, say it's not mushtaq. But mushtaq means that it's not derived from something, it doesn't have its, like for example, okay, you'll see what I mean in a moment. It's not mushtaq. We'll just remember that, and I won't even write that on the board. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi believes in this. Others say it is mushtaq, it's derived from something. And this is where the difference of opinions come from. The first opinion is the opinion in Abu Hassan Ashi rahmatullah alayhi. This is his opinion. Is Quran comes from the root word qaf, ra, and noon. Quran comes from the root word qaf, ra, and noon. Is Quran derived, meaning is the term Quran derived? Is the word Quran derived from some root? Or is it its own original word? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says it's not derived from anywhere. Imam Abu Hassan al-Ashi rahmatullah alayhi says that that Quran is derived from something, and he says that the Hamza, it's derived from the root letters Qaf, Ra, and Noon. And the Hamza, the Alif, excuse me, is going to be it's going to be zaid. It's going to be extra. And so, what? Sorry. Yeah, it's going to be mazid. It's going to be mazid. It's going to be zaid over here. It's going to be an extra word. And so, it comes from a root from daraba yadribu. So, if you studied Arabic roots, then you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't studied Arabic roots, then don't worry about it. Just know the following. And the following is that this type of root, it means the Quran's meaning is al-dham, or to combine two things together. So some of the ulama say Quran comes from the root word to combine. To combine. And the reason they say this is because لِأَنَّ فِيهِ ضَمُّ الْآيَاتِ بَعْضٍ بِبَعْضٍ وَالسُّورِ بَعْضٍ بِبَعْضٍ. Because in here, there are ayat that are connected together and surahs are connected together, meaning one leads to the next. So some ulama say that Quran comes from the root word to combine or to attach or to bring together, to combine. Another group of ulama say Quran is also from qaf, ra, and noon. So and they say this is from the root qarina. What does qarina mean? Qarina means dalil. It means proof. So here they say Quran, the root comes from, it's mushtaq. It's derived from the term qarina, or proof. And so here, يَشَبْهُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا لِأَنَّ الْآيَاتِهِ يَشَبْهُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا يَعْنِي يُصَدِّقُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. Okay. Because the verses, they resemble, some resemble the other, meaning they verify one or the other. مَا سَبَقَ مِنْ الْكُتُبِ. So what does this basically mean? This means that the Quran serves as a proof. Some verses prove the other verses. Some verses prove true the other verses. So it comes from qarina. It means dalil, or it means proof. And Quran is a proof of many things, but in particular, some parts of Quran prove other parts of Quran. So I gave that example in the Monday class of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, that the Messenger of Allah is sent with four purposes. That was in which surah? Baqarah. And the proof of Allah accepting that dua came in which surah? Ali Imran. Good. So now we see how some verses verified other verses. The third root, which we're more used to, is... Can they see this low?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. On this, the third root is that it comes from qara'a. It comes from qara'a, which means to recite. Qara'a means to recite. They can write it? Okay. Qara'a yaqra'u. Which means he recited or to recite, qira'a, tala yatlu, to read or recite. Now this comes from reading or recite. And so people define Quran as meaning the recitation. They define Quran as meaning the recitation. This is the common term. Commonly when we speak about Quran, people define it to mean, oh, this is Quran, it comes in fu'lan form, so it means over and over and over, and it means to recite over and over and over, and this is why in Taraweeh prayer, after you read min al-jinnati wan nas, and you finish the recitation of Quran, what do you do in the next rakah? Start again from Alif Lam Mim. It's a proof it goes over and over and over. Anytime a person finishes, they start over again. It means qara'a yaqra'a, it means to recite or read over and over. And then the last one, number four, is also from qara'a. And for example, we'll say qara'u al-ma'u fil hawdi. A jama'a al-ma'u fil hawdi. And it means qara'a with the meaning of jama'a, to gather. It means to gather. لِأَنَّهُ مَجْمُوعُ فِي السُّدُورِ النَّاسِ. Because it's been gathered in the heart of mankind. وَلِأَنَّهُ قَصَصُ وَأَمُورُ وَالنَّهِ. And also because it gathers various stories, various commands, and various prohibitions. So Quran can actually mean one of four things. So why is this important? Because if we look at how complex and how much debate lies in the actual word of Quran, and how we can't even, because each of these have their own proofs. Linguistically speaking, قَرَنَ يَقْرِنُ from بَعْبْ ضَرَبَ يَضْرِبُ, it means to combine, and the proof is that Quran combines verse after verse, ayah after ayah, story after story, surah after surah. Or we look at it, and then that was one of the opinions of Imam Ashari rahmatullah alayh. In Imam Farrah rahmatullah alayh, what did he say? It also comes from qarna, but it has a different meaning. Qarina, to be a proof or to be dalil. And his proof is why? Because this is also one of the meanings of the root word. And two, they both felt that the extra letter in Quran was the alif. And the root was qaf, ra, and noon. And he said, because the Quran, some verses prove the other verses to be true. And the third opinion is from qara'a, to recite. Because that's what Quran is. Quran is a recitation. And we're continuously reciting over and over and over and over. The Prophet was commanded from the very beginning to recite. And they believe the qaf, ra, and alif are now the root letters. And the noon is extra. The noon is za'id. That's the mazid letter. It's noon. And then the fourth one is qara'a as well, but this means jama'a. And the Arabic proof is, a person could say qara'a al-ma' fil hawd, that he gathered water in the pool. Or water was gathered in the hawd. You can say quri'a al-ma'u fil hawdi, that water was gathered in the hawd. A jama'a or jumi'a al-ma'u, that water was brought together there. Also the same root. And then the proof in terms of thought is because the Quran, it's all gathered in the heart of mankind, or it gathers the stories together, or it gathers together Allah's commands, or it gathers together Allah's prohibitions. So if the Quran itself has such debate over just the word, then we have to be very careful. If the great ulama could not come to a conclusion on what the term Quran means, we have to be very careful before we come to a conclusion on what a meaning of one of the words is, or a meaning of one of the verses. People nowadays, they come, for example, I'll give you an example. One of the women, not from this masjid, but one of the women of our time, she says that Prophet Adam a.s. was the second creation. And the first creation for mankind was Hawa a.s. And how does she prove this? She says, if you look clearly in the Quran, you see Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, uttaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. O mankind, fear your Lord who created. Khalaqakum, then what? Min nafsin, from a nafs, from an individual. Now, what's the word after that? Wahida. What's wahida? One. What's at the end of wahida? Tamarbuta, which means what? It's feminine. And we didn't, in our class, I think 2 weeks we'll discuss, and this is a murakkab tawsifi. This is an adjectival phrase. The first word and the second word, we just covered this on Tuesday, ad-darsul awwal. Remember how they have to match up? So, if wahida is a description, and it has a tamarbuta, It's feminine and it's describing nafs. It's describing nafs. And nafs is a feminine word. Nafs is a feminine word. Now, does nafs mean something is feminine? No, it doesn't. But nafs is a feminine word. Certain words in Arabic are feminine. Certain words are masculine. Nafs happens to be masculine. وَخَلَقَ and He, Allah created, مِنْهَا مِنْهَا from it. Ha means it. Ha also means what? Her. خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا her spouse. Zawj doesn't have the ta marbuta. Technically, zawj can refer to husband or wife. So now you're saying zawjaha, her spouse or its spouse. So this woman uses Quran to prove something that clearly goes against another verse of Quran that's very clear about Allah Ta'ala saying he's going to put. And then what does Allah Ta'ala say? Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Daman Ruda, right? So she proves through her limited understanding of the Arabic language why the first person created is feminine. Is that she's a woman. It goes against the verses that speak about Adam first. It goes against the ahadith that are present as well. So sometimes people like to use Quran for their own agenda. How many times did we hear people say things like, oh brother, our parents say, you have to do well in school because the first revelation was Iqra. And Iqra means to read, so you have to gain knowledge. Iqra does mean to read. It does mean it has an implication of gaining knowledge. But Iqra was a very specific verse commanded to the Prophet ﷺ. It's khas. Now, is there an am meaning? Is there a general meaning? Yes, there is a general meaning. Can we all take that general meaning? Yes, we can all take that general meaning as well. But the reality is that a person can't say that because this was revealed, now we have to, and then what do people say? They use this as a proof. You need to become a surgeon, you need to become this type of engineer, and this type of heart surgeon, and this type of politician, because the Quran says to study. But then they won't say Quran says to study dini knowledge, because it's all agenda based. So one of the reasons why we always cover these mubadiyat, these beginning things, is for us to see if the debate lies in the word Quran, and the ulama themselves are saying it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, then we have to be careful that after their decades of studies, they still can't come to the conclusion of what Quran really means. And many say, you know what, it's actually a combination of all this together. It's actually a combination together. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi says it has no mushtaq, it's its own meaning, etc. When people have these thoughts, it's a proof to us the depth of Quran. Now the depth is great, and the people who cannot survive on the shallow end should not dive in the deep end until they learn how to swim. I.e. they learn how to speak the Arabic language, they learn how to analyze the Arabic language, they know what the meanings are, the asbab and nuzul are, the reasons for revelation, etc. How many times have you gone to a speech where the prophets, where people say education is very important, and one of the proofs at the Battle of Badr, the Muslims ransomed the captives in return for the disbelievers to teach the Muslims how to read and write. I've heard that before in different speeches. It sounds like a very good thing. That's how much true. Now the Prophet ﷺ and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu had agreed that we're going to ransom the Muslims, the captives of the Quraysh off. In return, some of them will give money, some of them who will just teach our people how to read and write. But if a person studies further, they see Allah didn't like that decision. Allah had actually, subhanahu wa ta'ala, had sided with Umar radiallahu anhu and Sa'd radiallahu anhu that we execute those, but then forgave the Muslims. Execute those initial captives for whatever reason, and because we show our strength and we have to at this point show after all the abuse and crimes they committed against us that we're not going to bend over for them, that we have a firm stance in the position of war. Because you have to remember, it was war context. And so people come and say, well, look how Islam preaches education. Islam does preach education. You can't use that as a proof. Because Allah Ta'ala did not like that decision. So people sometimes use these things and begin to preach. And people like myself, we listen and say, oh, that's a good point. But then when you read later, then you're like, subhanAllah, that point is completely invalid. So we're starting with these mubadiyat to see that, subhanAllah, there's actually many things out there that we have to learn first. In the science of tafsir, the science of ta'wil, the science of interpretation, explication, before we can come to conclusions of Quran. And I'm going to go into this a little more later. Now, so what does Quran mean? So what's the so this is the lughwi definition. Now what's the istilahi? What's the contextual definition? I never studied that, so I can't tell you yes. Yeah. So the question was, is this, can there be any relationship to...
I don't mean like the context is the same. It's just, I think that's the word, right, for that entity. So...
I actually don't know. I'll have to see it, yeah. If you can show it, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can show it to me, then I can comment on it, inshallah.
I think it's mentioned, but I'm the word hadith never referred to. Companion,
well, it can refer to group. So
maybe companions.
And these words can be interchangeable.
Yeah.
But from when we studied, we specifically use the word qarina as meaning proof. So the thing is that we can come to a conclusion as to why it can also mean a companion and have a very solid reason for it. But this is actually, I'm glad you brought this up. So let's just say, you know, خير القروني, what is it? قرني. The best generation, or the best surroundings, companions, are mine. Then ثم الذين يلونهم, ثم الذين يلونهم. Then those who come after, those who come after. Now, we can say if this now refers to companion, the best companion is what? Quran, and it comes from قرانا. We can make a very good explanation as to why Quran's root might be that. And there could be truth to it. But when we speak about knowledge, I'm really glad you brought this example up. When we speak about our position in Aqidah, we are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We're the people of Sunnah. And what's the Sunnah? The Nas of Quran, the Nas of Hadith, the example of Prophet, etc. Wal Jama'ah. And the congregation, the agreement, the coming together of scholarship from that time to our time today, namely the Jama'ah of Sahaba, but then till today as well. Now, that opinion, while it seems very valid and the explanation can be very solid, was not founded or was not put forward by a scholar. And thus, though it makes sense to us, we take our knowledge from the chain, the sun is going back to the Prophet ﷺ, or at least to that particular scholar who then interpreted made something a Sahabi said to the Prophet ﷺ. And since it wasn't mentioned there, we're hesitant to take it. We as people, students of knowledge, all of us are hesitant to take it because it doesn't have a root. Now someone might think, anyone who goes to madrasa, we think this all the time, especially in our initial years, that, oh, they missed this point. I thought of this. The reality is, no, they didn't miss this point. So many times in my class, I would be sitting in fiqh or hadith class that, it's a really good point that they didn't think of. And then later, maybe 2 months later, you see they actually thought of this. But this was the faulty point of there, and this was the reason why it doesn't work, and this is why it was disproven, etc. So it was never published, or it was never made to be a common principle. So perhaps this idea of qareen was mentioned. But, since it wasn't accepted and propagated as an opinion, from all these centuries of scholarship, we never end up discussing in tafsir class. So I'm actually glad you brought that up. Okay, so now what's Quran? That was a lowly definition. The istilahi, the contextual definition, is Quran is what? Kalamullah. It's the word. Don't I keep my notes on the ground? It's the word of Allah. Or you can say the book of Allah. Kalamullah, O Kitabullah, Al-Munazzal, ala Rasulihi, that was revealed revealed upon or to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fil masakin manqul bi naqlihi al-mutawatir. Okay. Upon his messenger in Sahih. Copies, bound. Mus'haf, what's a good definition for Mus'haf?
Just
copies, it doesn't make sense though.
It's not right.
If anyone can think of a good definition for Mus'haf, I don't want to use the term copy.
Manual?
Manual, yeah.
Criterion?
That's for Khan, yeah. Okay, we'll put it this way. Bound between two covers bi naqli al-mutawatir and narrated or passed on in mutawatir. What's a good way of defining mutawatir? In yeah, I was going to say, okay, we'll use that like that. In a rigorously authenticated chain. So let me explain this right now, because everyone's like, what are you talking about? Okay. So, it's the word of Allah. Word of Allah refers to what? Very important. Word of Allah refers to what? The Quran. But what specifically of the Quran? It's going to be the Arabic. If you have English, it's not Quran. It's a translation of Quran. It's an interpretation of Quran. But we don't consider it to be what? We don't consider it to be Quran. So now the question comes about, can I touch a translation of Qur'an without wudu? Yes, you can. It's not a Qur'an. Then people say, well, what if there's Arabic and English there? So there's many debates. The general ruling I've heard fuqaha give is that if it's going to be Qur'an, the majority of it has to be the word of Allah. So if there's more original Arabic, Qur'anic Arabic, than the other language, then we consider Qur'an. We'll apply the rules of Qur'an. If there's less, so let's say it's an interpretation, explanation, tafsir of Qur'an, the Qur'an is going to be a percentage of it, the actual words of Qur'an, the words of the author and hadith, etc. will be the majority of it, then technically you can pick it up without wudu. It would be very bad adab, so we shouldn't. But technically we can pick it up without wudu, but if we're going to touch the page, and the words of Qur'an are on that page, we cannot touch with the words of Qur'an are without wudu. So word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Arabic original words, not the translation. These words were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this revelation, and as it was transmitted, it was kept, Kitabullah, as a mushaf. It's this bound cover, it's this bound text. In a tawatir chain. In a chain that's mutawatir. So what does this mean? Mutawatir refers, so there's various types of chains of narration. When you study chains of narration, those you'll see there's ahad, khabr al-wahid, there's shad, there's there's mashhur, there are all these different things. So what does this mean? People often say, well, that's da'if. Da'if has nothing to do with chains, rigorously authenticated chains. People often say, brother, that's da'if. That has nothing to do with anything. That's sahih. That has nothing to do with anything. That actually is less of a worry for us than its standard of authentication of the chain. Because there can be times, it doesn't really occur, where the chain is very strong, but the text itself might not be acceptable. Because it violates another principle somewhere else. So what's mutawatir? What does this mean to be rigorously authenticated? It's so authenticated by the number of people who heard it from the Prophet ﷺ, who taught it to their students, who taught their students till it reached us today, that there's not an opportunity or possibility for any lie or something to be construed. It's been authenticated with so many people, And we'll put fiqh in there as well. They're weighty. They're people of good. Their integrity is very high. That because of the number of people who have narrated this verse to the next people, we know today it cannot be a mistake. So my teacher gives a very interesting example. He gives the example that, let's say you are driving. So I'm going to go to Chicago. So I'm going to leave after Isha for Chicago. And then so I see Farhan. I see Hafiz Farhan. And as I'm leaving the masjid, he's like, oh, where are you going? I'm like, I have to go to Chicago. I forgot something at my parents' place. I want to go pick it up. So Hafiz Farhan says, okay, you know what? What route are you taking? I said, I'm going to take 94 to 294. He's like, no, don't take that. Take Lake Cook instead. Why? Because where 94 turns into 294, right after that, there's a pretty bad accident and all the lanes are closed and they're clearing up this accident. So I'll think, okay, you know what, okay, jazakumullah khair. Then I'm walking outside and I see Omar at the vending machine. And his dollar got stuck and he's trying to get it out. So as I'm talking to him, he's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going to my parents' place, I left something there. So then he says, oh, what route are you taking? I said, I'm going to take 94 to 294. And he said, oh no, don't take 94 to 294. Because if you take 94 to 294, there is an accident that occurred a little after 294, and all the lanes are closed, you're gonna be really delayed. And then so, I go out to the car, and I see Fahim at the car. And then he's like, I have a question for you. And I answer the question, and then he's like, where are you headed to? I'm like, I'm headed to my parents' place. He's like, oh, really? At this time? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, okay, what route are you taking? I'm taking 94 to 294. Don't take 294, 94, 294. Why not? Because there's an accident a little after 294 turns to 294, and all the lanes are closed. Then I forgot my keys in the masjid. I come back, and of course, Faruqi uncle's still here. So then I find him here, and I say, and he says, where are you going? And exact same story. And he tells me the exact same story. That 294 is closed right after 94 turns to 294. Now, is there a possibility all four of these people made it up? Yes. Because maybe when I went to go do wudu, they all sat together and said, we're going to play a big joke on Saad, and we're going to definitely make him take a different route so he comes back late at Fajr, because he led way too long this morning with way too many mistakes, and I can't stand his recitation, so we're going to have someone else lead, and it's going to be a nice short Fajr. But let's say I leave the masjid, then I go to the gas station, I go to the mobile, and someone's working there who has no connection to our masjid, all these individuals, and then I go stop for gas, and then I go into pain, I'm going to get some sort of drink, I'm going to get a Dr. Pepper or something, and all of a sudden what happens, I'm speaking to the person, it's like, oh, you're new here? I'm like, yeah, actually I am, I just moved here a month ago. Where are you going now? I'm going to my parents' place. Oh, where do they live? Chicago. How are you getting there? 94 to 94. He tells him the same thing. Don't take that route. There's an accident there. And then, so what do? I start driving, and as I drive, I get pulled over by an officer. Allah protect us. And then he's like, where are you going, son? And I'm like, I was heading home quickly, I have to be back in the morning for work, and I'm tired. He's like, well, where's your home? My home's in, I'm going to my parents' home. Where's your parents' home? Glendale Heights. And then, so then he says, oh, how are you getting there? 94 or 294, sir? And he says, oh, don't take 294. Same story. And then I hope I don't get to a toll, because that means I totally didn't listen to you guys. But I get to a toll somehow. And then I get to the toll, and then as I'm paying the money, because I don't have iPass, the person says, where are you going? I'm going to Glendale Heights. How are you getting there? 94 to 294. Don't take 294. Why? There's an accident right after it turns into 294 from 94. Now, there is no chance that you guys brought that up together. There's no chance, unless some of you had some crazy gush, that you thought that I'm going to go and meet this guy at mobile and say, I have a feeling Saad's going to come over here. That I'm going to go search the random officers in Wisconsin and go find that officer who I think he's going to speak to and who's going to pull him over, and then tell him the same story. And I'm going to go find this specific toll booth from the five that are there and speak to that person all in this period of time. It's impossible. But they all share the same story, because they share the same story, and it's impossible that they could have contrived or come up or schemed up a lie. Because that's impossible, they're all thiqa. This transmission of story, this chain, is of the utmost strength. It's of the utmost strength. It's a type of tawatir because of the strength. Not necessarily because of the numbers, but because the strength. Now we go to what something completes tawatir. Now you have these numbers. I teach you guys something today. And there's 11 people, there were 11 people online, now there's 7. And then there's 4 in front of me, I don't know how many sisters are upstairs. So we have a large number. This is considered tawatir. All of you, let's say there's 10 or 15 total, you all get 15 more students, or even 5 more students. So 15 of you get 5 more students, that becomes 75. Then those 75 people, they get 10 students each, or let's just say 5 students each. So it went from 15 to 75 to 375. And then those 375 find 10 students of their own. Now it's 3,750 people. This, what I narrate to you, is tawatur. Because there's so many people who learned it on the initial level, who taught so many more people, who taught so many more people, that when a person 5 generations from now learns this, there's almost an impossibility that it could be a lie. This statement had to be true, because there's no way that those 375 people or those 3,750 people could have somehow made up all of this together, that to contrive this type of lie. It couldn't have happened. It has to be true. Because some of Hafiz Farhan's students are now teaching in Afghanistan, and some of Dr. Omar's students are now teaching in Argentina, etc., etc. There's no possible way they could have all come together. Actually, today with the internet, I guess something's always possible. But you get the general idea. So, this Qur'an is the Arabic word of Allah. It is revealed to His Messenger. It is now contained between it's bound between two covers. And it's been authenticated such that it could not be a lie from its earliest time when it's said from one group to another, till the student himself learns it or herself learns it. The second definition of Qur'an is it's the word of Allah revealed upon the Prophet ﷺ, and it is a means of worship by its recitation. So it's the word of Allah revealed to Rasulullah ﷺ, and it's a means of worship by its recitation. It's a means of worship by its recitation. Any questions so far before I move on? Okay. So let's continue to move on. Now, what is the purpose of Qur'an, the mawdu'? So the ulama say there's no specific mawdu'. Because any means that a person needs guidance, Qur'an has opened that door to that guidance. And it's not a story. Stories have beginnings and ends. Whatever you approach Qur'an for, you'll find a benefit in the Qur'an for that purpose. Let's just put it that way. So then the question comes up, okay, then what is its fa'idah? What is the benefit of learning Qur'an, learning tafsir in particular? So ulama say, it's the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's ma'rifatu dhatillah, or ma'rifatu billahi. It's the ma'rifah, it's the close knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or of what He wants to teach to us. And it's a distinguishing. It's a distinguishing between that which is good and wrong and bad. The Quran helps us distinguish between that which is right and wrong, and it's also a means of reflection, the tadabbur, and it's a means of advice from Allah Ta'ala, nasiha. That you don't have to write down, but these are benefits we gain from them. Now let's go to what we need to write down. So the Qur'an, when we look at Qur'an, how is Qur'an divided up? How is Qur'an divided up? So there are many opinions regarding this. There are many, many opinions regarding this. According to some ulama, the Qur'an, if you were to take all the Qur'an and put them into different categories, the Qur'an speaks about 8 specific things. One, the Qur'an will always speak about tawheed, or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oneness or unification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two, it'll speak about risalah. It'll speak about the message and the messenger, but specifically the message. Then it will speak about... How do you say this? That which brings good news, bashara. It'll give good news, glad tidings, that's a better way. Glad tidings for the believer. Four, it'll give warnings. Five, it will give rulings, ahkam. Six, the Quran will speak about the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Seven, It will speak about jihad, not just struggle, but actually jihad as a particular part of the deen, meaning fighting for the sake of Allah, not just striving for the sake of Allah. We have to be clear about this. Jihad is a science and a part of the deen. We have no issue with it. So, jihad. And then, infaq fi sabilillah, spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the eight categories that Quran speaks about. No matter where you look in Quran, Quran will always speak about one of these things. This is according to one group of ulama. Then, according to another group of ulama, they say another way you can describe or divide how Quran is simpler. You put it into five categories. And you say that Quran is ahkam, rulings. That Quran is tazkir bi ayat bil ala illa. I should actually write this separately. Now, everyone might be thinking, well, why are we even going through this? I'm going to mention the reason shortly. What time is it? Okay, I should end short. So I have a few minutes. Let me see what I can get today. Oh, I wanted to get through Madani versus Makki. Okay, keep those eight in mind. The others, I'll just tell you. You don't have to write them down. The eighth one was, in fact, spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then other ulama say it deals with ilmun ahkam, the knowledge of rulings, the knowledge of reminding ourselves about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminding ourselves of the days of Allah, ayyamillah. This speaks about what happened to previous communities, the azab they faced, ilmul makhasim, how to deal with others and give da'wah. And the knowledge, ilm al-maut wa ma ba'dahu, the knowledge of death and what happens after it. Another subset of ulama say, it deals with, and then they actually categorize this. They say, Surah Baqarah to Surah An'am, Khaliqiyah. It deals with our origin. Then An'am to Surah Kahf, deals with tarbiyah. In tarbiyah, what's tarbiyah? Isalu shay ila kamalihi darjatan darjatan. That it's attaining of something towards its perfection, step by step. The third category, from Kahf to Surah Saba, is speaks about barakah and tasarruf, about blessings. And then the fourth category is that from Surah Saba to Surah Nas, it focuses on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then Surah Fatiha has actually all four of these within them. And then the next thing is, there's more. There's really no reason to go into it, but I'll just race through them. Ilmul Usul, according to some ulama, Tawheed. Ilmul Qasas, the stories of the Anbiya. Ilmul Ahkam, Ahkamuddin. Ilmul Suluk, and that's the skills and nafs. And then three categories, Islah, this is Imam Ghazali's opinion. Okay, we'll skip these inshallah. Now let's go to the next. So, why is this important? This is an important why. Because this shows that people interact with the Quran. They didn't interact with Quran on a superficial level. They were able to sit down and literally say, if I had to look from Surah Baqarah to Surah An'am, I can see it's all about our creation. The main theme is creation and origin. If I had to look from Surah An'am to Surah Kahf, I can see the main theme is tarbiyah, about how to reach perfection in something. If I had to look at Surah Baqarah, Surah Kahf to Surah Saba, I can see it's about blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I had to look from Surah Saba to Surah Nas, I can see the main thing is speaking about Qiyamah. Other ulama say, no, when I look at the Quran, I see eight purposes of Quran. Eight things it always discusses. The oneness of Allah, His message that He sent through a prophet, the warnings that are to come, the glad tidings for people, rulings, day of judgment, jihad, and spending it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other ulama say no. When I look at Quran, I see it applies the rulings, it speaks about how to give da'wah to other, it speaks about recognize the ni'am, and a'la illa. Others say, and then it speaks about about the ayam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He did to other communities, and about death and what happens after it. Others say, no, when I look at Quran, I see it in two categories. I see tahliya and takhliya. Tahliya is the beautification of something, and takhliya is taking out all that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking that out of us. So people have such a deep connection to Quran, they went over and over and over with through Quran until they were able to identify what are the various categories and discussions of Quran that Quran goes through. So it's really a sign, أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ Quran. Don't you contemplate over it? And they would contemplate. One reading would lead to another reading, which would lead to another reading, until they had some grasp over these concepts. So that's pretty much what we'll leave off today, inshaAllah. Next week we'll go into the idea of Madani versus Makki. And then the final week we'll speak about tafsir and ta'wil itself. It's a 4-week course. So next week the main focus will be Makki versus Madani, the various opinions there, and why that matters to us. And we'll speak a little about ayats as well. And then finally we'll go into the actual idea of tafsir. So this will be a general introduction to the science of tafsir. I'm not going to go into usul of tafsir. That's different. I thought maybe I would cover that 1 week, but I don't think we're going to. I don't think it's necessary, inshallah. So if there's any questions, I'll take them now. If not, we'll break for prayer.
After these 4 weeks, inshallah, are we going to go through different surahs, tafsir of different surahs?
So the goal, okay, so this is a good question. Are we going to go to tafsir of different surahs after these 4 weeks? After these 4 weeks, and the Arabic 8 weeks, etc., what I want to do is I want to sit down and I want to speak with the community members and see, have we been doing too much? Because, you know, a community is like a sponge. You can only put so much water into it, it can't soak up much more. And sometimes when you offer too much, then the value of it goes down. So we have to see, okay, from all of these, what is most appreciated, what is most needed? Maybe we'll have use the website for some sort of survey. And then we'll go from there. I personally want to do tafsir, and it's been requested by others. And this is just sort of a glimpse into tafsir. And then my goal, one, is to do tafsir of Juz Amma, because we recite Juz Amma so often. And then other surah that we use, like Surah Fatiha, etc. But we'll decide that as a community, inshallah, and then we'll see. But that's one of the main goals for this community, inshallah. Any other questions? Okay, if not, then we'll... Wait, online, are there any questions from the people online? Or from the sisters upstairs? Do you have questions?
The strongest opinion
of the most common opinion is qara'a and the fa'lan form. So Quran, it's derived from qara'a. Qara'a not with the with the ma'na of tilawa, not with the ma'na of jama'a, because qara'a could also mean jama'a, but qara'a with the ma'na of tilawa. So it's recitation. So that's the most common opinion. And then the other opinions also exist out there. It looks like there's no other questions. Then we'll stop for prayer. SubhanAllah, bihamdi, subhanAllah, bihamdi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.